Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning. My scripture reading today is Luke 8, 22 through 25. So one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's prayer people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies, very much. All right, so what you heard in those two texts, we're going to try to walk through and make some sense. But let me start with this. This past Monday was Labor Day, and my wife's younger brother and family came to visit us. And so what do you do on Labor Day weekend when family comes in to visit? You go to the Orioles game. And so we took them to the Orioles game. My nephews love baseball. Well, at least one of them does. The other just tolerates it. Like many other people that go to Orioles games, like half the crowd is really there for baseball, but the other half the crowd is there because baseball only has about 45 seconds of excitement in it, but the other 2 hours is just people talking to each other. And so the Orioles that particular day made it very conversational. Some of you are smiling because that's probably the most truthful thing you've ever heard me say. But I grew up loving baseball. But the thing that I loved about where our seats were is we had to go to the upper mezzanine pathway. So because we took our family to the Orioles game, we bought the cheapest tickets available to us that day. If it had been my side of the family, we would have sat in better seats. I'm just kidding. But so we were walking with her family, and my oldest nephew, his name is Mason, which I love talking to him. He's such creative and he's passionate. But the thing that we were able to do, which if you've ever walked that upper level, is you can almost walk the entire city of Baltimore from an elevated vantage point and point out other significant places. Everything from around the harbor all the way over to the B&O train station, all the way towards the Inner Harbor and Hopkins. And so there's, you can't see the other side of Mount Vernon because the hill, the way that Baltimore's elevation goes. So it's not like a helicopter or whatever that could get up higher, but there's an excellent way to get a very compact perspective on the city. And so this is what we're doing as a church this year. The letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus is one of his most condensed and compact, I would say slightly elevated books that he wrote, letters that he wrote to the early church, and he hits everything. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the relationship to the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people, the parts of the body of Christ. And he goes through different theological tension points in that early church that we can learn a lot from. And so the book reads like bap, 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 like you're walking a deck looking at all these important aspects of our faith. And so I've decided that the best way for us to address that this church year is for us to start where he ended. Because if he's going rapid fire, all these different things about faith and family and the church and how we're all interconnected, but he comes to this passage, takes a huge pause, and then with emphasis, great emphasis, he says to us in Ephesians 6 to put it all on. Then the question for us to really focus on this fall in September and October is, are you and I ready? Because there's so much that's happening, so much that's going on in and around us. The idea is that you can be ready or you can be ill-prepared. So there's really no in-between. And so as we get ready to walk into this particular season as a church, I believe that you and I can have our faith strengthened, our hope kind of like cleared up, because hope really is like this long distant vision that we have, that the what God has promised is coming, it's answered, it's on its way. There is a day coming when all of it's going to be made right. And so if we can walk through the book of Ephesians, I think we're going to increase our faith. We're going to have our hope strengthened, at least the vision glasses cleared up. But yet I also believe that you and I are going to learn what it really looks like to love each other. But not just love each other like on the good days. We're talking about loving each other on bad days. Do we not still have conflict inside the church? Actually, if we were to survey a lot of us, this might be the first church that you're back in after a season of church hurt. And so we as a church, when I say church, not just gallery, but the body of Christ at large, has not always acted even amongst each other in a way that glorifies and honors God. And there's strong imagery in the artwork that we chose for this series, partly because I want you and I to see that, Andre, there's a slide that has this soldier contrasted with like the modern day Christian wearing just like a t-shirt, like, okay. So we created this because I want you guys to know is that no matter how you're dressed, the arrows are coming. Okay, so now those are the simplest Christian t-shirts, but like just imagine the Jesus is my homeboy, you know, like, hey, I'm married to Jesus kind of t-shirts that are out there in the Christian world. But I really do feel like friends and family is that majority of us literally do approach our days like as if as long as I have my Christian t-shirt, I'm prepared. But let me just tell you guys, that is not preparedness. There is a reverence, and if you even notice that this warrior armored up is in the posture that you and I need to get comfortable in. Because many times we read the armor of God and we leave the last few verses off that are about prayer. And I do believe that when Paul was writing this, part of the armor of God is our prayer life. And if you and I go into this series and we only think about the actual armor pieces and we forget that we're supposed to excel in prayer, we're leaving off a major component of preparedness. And so you'll see this image occasionally pop up throughout the series because I don't want to be a church that we are casual about our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to realize that there is a massive battle, but that's the problem. If you were to survey people in Baltimore, like if you just walked out of here on your way to the park today or to a restaurant, wherever you're going, and you were just to stop people and you were to say, hey, is there evil in the world? And they'd be, oh, absolutely, absolutely. Is there an actual evil one in the world? Well, I don't really believe in the devil. Or do you believe that there is an evil one, a devil? Like, yeah, yeah, but do you believe that he has like an army of spirits in the world that are also working in conjunction with him? I have a feeling that a lot of people would be like, you know, there's a lot of problems in the world, but it's just the world or it's just people. It's not. Paul is making it very clear that there are things in this world that we cannot see. And there are forces at work that cannot be understood. And if you and I wake up every day with this mentality that, oh, I'm fine, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and it's just a t-shirt life, guys, let me just tell you, I believe that you and I are going to suffer unnecessarily because we've been given what we need to be successful, but yet you and I have to make some choices with it. So let me start here. What is the armor of God? I believe the armor of God at its basis is this. It's how we defend ourselves. Like we're given, like when we get into the letter to the church in Ephesus, you're going to find out all the ways in which the evil one and the evil in this world and all of that that we're going to talk about at length is coming after you. Like there is great intent to get you to stumble, to fall, to doubt, to hurt, all kinds of different ways that harm is supposed to present itself. And then Paul says, but I want you to know that Jesus has got your back and in process of giving you your salvation, he has made you ready for everything that's going to come your way. So it's how you and I can defend ourselves. And it's also what you and I need to not live a defeated life. Now, let me just share with you guys this. Like, this is so sensitive. There's so many layers to this because sometimes it's our own neglect. You and I have pain in this life because someday we got up. One day we got up and we were not prepared for the day and we made choices that we're paying for. Some of you got up and you were trying to prepare yourself. Maybe you were even younger and you didn't even know how to prepare yourself for battle yet. And somebody else made choices that has really messed you up. There are so many ways in which the evil in this world, whether seen or unseen, has come after you and I and us in a way, whether it's in our family line or in our churches, in such a way that is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you and I neglect the armor that we've been given, you and I not only are going to put ourselves in harm's way, it's very likely that you and I are going to put each other in harm's way. And many times we don't own our faith in such a way that causes us to think, when I get up in the morning, am I prepared to defend what I'm just going to call it, the church? Like, that's not just the pastor's responsibility, but we are the church. We are the family of God. And am I ready today, knowing that the darts are coming? Like, we don't even have to guess. The fiery darts, we've lived long enough. Everybody in this room is generally younger than the national average in age, but yet you have lived long enough to know that you don't have to take too many more breaths before there's going to be some sort of dart coming after you. There's going to be some sort of challenge that's going to come your way. But here's another thing I want you to understand. Why does Paul use military imagery? I do not believe in any way that Paul is glorifying battle and killing by using this armor of God. I just want to get that out of the way right away. This is not a passage for you and I to say, God has armored us up so that we can go take somebody's life. That is not what this is for. He is trying to say through a metaphor that gets across the seriousness of our faith, the real nature of what it looks like for you and I to follow after Jesus Christ. It is one in which he's trying to communicate that you and I can be prepared so we're not defeated. And so what better imagery in the first century than the legions of soldiers that were forced to daily prepare themselves to dominate the known world. There were walking images of men and women who were allowed to put on this Roman armor in such a way that became a visual example to Paul to say, listen, you see how they've prepared themselves? You and I need to prepare ourselves in the spirit just the same way. So with that, let me start with this, the full armor of God. What does it mean? The Bible has a lot to say about evil and that it's multidimensional. We're not going to make that the full study for today. We will get back into it later on. But let me just give you some verses really quick. Romans 12, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Proverbs 17, 13, evil will never leave the house of the one who pays back evil for good. Matthew 12, 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil things stored up in him. And 1 Peter 3, 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. There are psychologists in this world right now that believe that all of the evil that you and I bump up against is solely caused by the world that we live in. So if you talk to them, it's like if anybody suffers anything, it's like there's an evil world, evil leadership, nations warring against nations, and it is solely the fact that you live in a world that is evil and broken, and that's how the psychologists will address it. And so what they say is the world needs a sociological reworking. And so it's all about different forms of government, the ways that finances are regulated. And so they will take the approach that what's wrong in the world is the way that the world is run, and the world just needs to be run differently. There's also those that I would say that kind of fall in more into the genetic side of it. And they are the ones that say, well, the flesh is what's the problem. Everything about the world that goes wrong goes back to the human DNA. And so they will actually say that you can find all the evil people in the world just by doing a DNA test. Like, there's some crazy stuff being written about the fact that everything comes back to the DNA. And let me just say this, are not we all born sinners? Like, it's just, it's like, why are we wasting millions of dollars or billions of dollars studying what the Bible says is true? Like, we are sinners. But then there's these existentialists and humanists that are out there that it's all about your personal choice. And so you have this mentality that's like, oh, no matter what, you yourself are what makes you good or you bad. Like, it's your choices. It's all up to you. It doesn't matter what other influences are in your life. You can just choose to do or to be, and it will become what it is that you're choosing to be. And so here's the deal. It's like, is it the world? Is it the flesh? Or is it the personal choices I make? But then there's the pagan perspective that really did infiltrate itself into the church over thousands of years of study, where the devil and evil spirits were behind everything. Like, there was this Middle Age movement. You can almost look at all of the way that churches and things function, where if something was bad, you made a spirit upset. And so the church would exorcise spirits or do all these things. And so there's this movement of, well, then there's a devil behind everything. So is it psychological? Is it sociological? Is it DNA? Is it spirit? And I'll tell you this, the Bible says it's all of it. It's all of it. It's not one category. It's every category. And so is it all me? Is it all the world? Is it all the devil? The Bible says yes, because evil is a multidimensional thing, and it comes at us from every direction possible. And the problem is that it comes at us from every direction possible. Like, there's been times where I've just been shocked that I have felt evil come at me, like, through my family. Like, okay, this should be a safe place. Like, why is it showing itself here? Like, sometimes it's like, why is it evil coming through some random shooting on my block? Or why is it that like people look at you and based upon the race or your language or your dialect, it's like, why are people treating me this way? You know, we had one of the pastors on our staff one time that was just standing in the parking lot, spoke fluent English. But because he looked like he was from Central America, people would come up to him and I would call it Spanglish him. Like, you speak English? And he's like, yes, I do. Like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, but yet so often, so much of the hurt that comes into our lives comes because people make assumptions about things about who you are and what you believe and what kind of education you've had and what kind of financial situations you're in. And so evil comes at us in so many different directions. So Paul is saying to them, I want you to know how to address it. So this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the full armor of God. He says, unless you know what you're doing with this evil that is coming at you from every direction, you are going to live a defeated life. Now, this isn't a self-help talk, but I just want you to know that you and I can resonate with that. There are so many of us right now sitting in these chairs or will listen online later this week or next week that are living defeated. You are wrapped up in worry and anxiety every single day of your life because there has been an attack on you that you did not win. And because of that attack, it is impacting the ways in which we wake up and the energy level, like the cycle. It's like if you start thinking it, it impacts other aspects of your life. And before long, next thing you know, those anxieties start to manifest themselves in so many other ways. So Paul is saying to this early church, and this is a question that I feel like is good for us, how do you explain your condition other than to say, I'm defeated? So many times when we wake up and there's a depression hanging over us or there's a weight, sometimes we can't even describe it. Like, I feel like there's a weight on my shoulders. And are we stepping into this place where Paul is talking like greater are the things that are not seen? But yet we feel it, but yet we don't want to say that the Bible is true by saying that, oh, there's a weapon formed against me, and am I ready? Like, if I actually took time to put on the armor that God has given me, would I actually maybe be victorious in this moment? Paul says that evil is coming from every direction, and you and I have to be prepared. So if look at verse 10. Let me start here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is something that I think is what Paul is saying here as he's transitioning to the actual armament pieces that we're going to get into in the weeks to come. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the mighty power. What he's saying is it takes a resolute spirit. You have to be absolutely determined. If you're going to be strong in the Lord God Almighty, he is saying to them, you need to wake up in the morning and you need to be determined. He actually talks about later in the passage that we just had read that you need to be ready to stand. Like, there's this idea that I can't just go about my faith like I put on a Christian t-shirt. Like, I've got to be determined. Do I actually click all the armor pieces together? Is it ready? Is my sword sharp? Are the things around me? Like, am I prepared for my day? A determined spirit. It takes more courage and endurance to put on the armor of God, I believe, and to obey God than to do anything else in your life. Let me explain it to you this way. Troops that are under a command, like I'm getting used to this now that my son's in the Coast Guard. Now, it's non-combatant unless you're in relationships with other people on base, right? So there's battles going on, but they're not with an enemy, right? So we just go out and get drunken sailors, right? So there's this battle that rages, but yet there's a uniform and a preparation that my family's getting introduced to that I'm not necessarily accustomed to. But those of you that come from military-based families, you know that there is a rank. Before you even graduate boot camp, they make you memorize the rank. Because if somebody steps up to you that has more rank in you and they tell you what to do, what's the expectation? That you do it. You don't even have to like it. You don't have to understand it. But here's the situation that I think Paul is saying here, is if you don't take the command, you are putting yourself in danger. Because you don't see what the commanding officer sees, and you are placed in a situation where they are saying, we need you to take this action, this is what we've given you to stay safe, but there is a battle that's raging, and we need you to be engaged in it, and in order for it to go successfully, you have to obey right away. And too much of the Christian faith is, are you a sinner? Jesus forgives you of your sins so you can go to heaven. Now hold on. Too many churches are leaving out the fact that if Jesus did that for us, he is your Lord. And if he's your Lord, that means he can tell you whatever he wants. That is not generally the message you hear at church. And so it's not a situation where you are like, There is no more dangerous risk than you to wake up in the morning saying, God, I'm putting on my full armor, because what you're saying to God is I am determined to obey whatever you ask me to do today. And generally, he asks you to do something that the world's going to say is crazy. Your friends are going to think, wait a minute, you're giving money away? Like, you're giving your life away? You're giving your time away? Like, you are repositioning yourself to help other people? Like, no, you should be taking care of yourself and living every day thinking about yourself. And he's like, no, Jesus is like, no, I want you to be selfless, not selfish. And so living a life of putting on the armor of God is going to put you in a situation where a lot of people are going to shake their heads like, what are you doing? So put on the armor of God is to daily be consistent in obeying orders. And putting on the armor of God is to submit your will to somebody else's. So when Paul is saying to put on the armor of God, to finally be strong and put on the armor of God, he's saying, I need you to be resolute. Because nothing is more dangerous to the church than for you or I to get a command to obey, and we turn to Jesus and we say, well, I'll obey if you give me an explanation. Nothing is more dangerous to you and I than for us to know God is asking us to do something, and you and I actually say, well, I'm a little confused. This doesn't fit the way I think. This doesn't fit the way that I'm wired. And we begin to hesitate. And we begin to say, no, I'm not going to obey what it is you want for me to do. And then we're not only putting ourselves at risk for losing a battle, we're also putting each other at risk of losing a battle. So the first thing Paul is saying to them is you have to have a resolute spirit. The second thing I think Paul is saying by giving them this armor of God, he's like in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So what I believe putting on the full armor of God is this, is the armor is a symbol of the benefits and the privileges that you and I have in the good news in Jesus Christ. So everything that you've ever heard about the message of Jesus Christ, anything you have ever heard about being a follower of Jesus Christ, what we're going to learn about the armor of God is a reminder to you every day, starting with the helmet, starting with the breastplate, starting with the shoes that you're putting on, the shield that you pick up, the sword, that all of those pieces, the belt that you put on, all of that is to remind you of all of the privileges that are found in following after Jesus Christ. It is not a, let me just get dressed so I'm prepared. It is a diligent effort to reprogram your thinking. Because we are not aligned in our thinking with the thoughts and the desires of God. And going through each and every one of those habits, like I put it this way on a slide, a new way of habitual practice in your new life to bring to pass your new life. And that's redundant for a reason. Like practice is supposed to be habitual. So what I'm saying is whatever you think you need to practice, double it. Whatever you think you need to practice, maybe triple it. Because you and I have got to get to the point where our practice is more than just Sundays or Sundays in a small group, where we are practicing habitually over and over and over again what this armor of God is meant to be for you and I. Because there is so much about our life that we are falling victim to that is unnecessary, church. What I'm saying is that there's pains and there's hurts and there's things that you and I are going through that we do not need to go through in this day and time. Unnecessary. We're going to suffer enough in this world. Why would we want to suffer unnecessarily? Romans 6 is a great chapter about being dead to sin. But the one thing I love about Romans 6 is this, is you and I have a legal posture to be alive in Jesus Christ. But why are we not cashing in on it? Because of Jesus Christ, we have access to some stuff that is going to breathe life into us in this world today. Not just for eternity once the kingdom of God is fully established, but things that we can experience and go through right now. But it's like we have access to a bank account that we never make withdrawals from. Why would we do that? Why would we suffer? Why would we go without when we have access to bountiful gifts that could come our way. Luke 8, I love hearing Summer read this to us. So we have this. I want you to get this picture. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to come to a phrase that Jesus said. So Jesus is in the boat. A great storm has come up. Jesus is sleeping. Why? Because Jesus has no fear of water. He doesn't mind the boat rocking. He doesn't mind to hear the howls of the wind because he knows that nothing is going to come over him that his Father in heaven doesn't want to happen. So he's at perfect peace in the midst of a storm. The disciples are freaking out. They get him up. They are questioning him. What is going on? Do you not care? Do you want us to perish? And look at what Jesus says to them. Where is your faith? Now, I want you to look at it this way. I want you to look at it as like a pat down at the TSA, where they are looking for whatever showed up on the monitor. Jesus is literally patting his disciples down. He's like, I know I gave you faith. Where is it? I know I gave you this. So where did you put it? Did you take it and then just set it somewhere in the boat? Did you leave it on shore? Did you not put it on? Because you shouldn't be in this moment experiencing what you're experiencing because I gave you what you needed to get through this storm. So where is your faith? And the armor of God, church family, is yours and I's way of making sure the things that Jesus has already given us is on us and in us and around us so that when the storms come, we are going to be okay. The armor prepares us for the new life in the new way. I love the way that when we were in Acts 5, when Peter was in prison with John and the angel let them out, the angel said, now I want you to go back out and I still want you to teach everybody about this way. Paul is now talking to the church about living this way. There's a new life. There's a new way. And that new life and that new way can be reshaped in us daily through our efforts of putting on the armor of God. So putting on the armor of God, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let me have your ear. A little Shakespeare, right? Sorry. That pretty lame? Sorry, it's pretty lame. So with me saying this to you guys, I want you guys to hear me. You can practice preaching to yourself every day. You don't need to wait to Sunday to whomever standing on this day to get a good sermon. You can preach a good sermon to yourself every day by saying, this is my helmet of salvation. This is what that doctrinally means to my mind. Here's my breastplate. This is what this means for me spiritually. This is what truth is. This is what shoes do. This is what a shield does. This is what a sword does. This is what prayer does. Like, you yourself can preach to yourself. But then you and I can learn to preach at each other without actually preaching at each other. Like that's the problem with my children. That's why pastors' kids generally are screwed up. Is because dad doesn't know when he's a pastor or when he's a dad or when he's the husband. And so everything requires a sermon. But church, there are times when you and I need to know it's okay to preach at each other because we're accountable. Why would we be involved in a battle for Baltimore and God saying, I'm giving you a command to obey and you don't obey and I'm suffering in the trench because you're not obeying? Why would I sit there and be like, well, I can't say anything. I'm taking all these arrows unnecessarily. Oh, that's totally fine. No, like you and I've got to figure out what it means to truly be in relationship with each other. Because that sometimes means we have to say some things to one another that might be hard. But that doesn't mean in our sin that we say something rude. Like, man, I don't know why anybody likes you because of your personality. Like, that's not exactly the way that it should come out. Like, you and I should say to each other, you know, right now, I see in you right now that there's some hurt. And every time you bump into this particular individual, you're showing your hurt. How can I help? Do you know that putting on the armor of God can prepare us for these moments? Like, we've got to learn that we can preach at each other, but you and I get to practice preaching at ourselves. We need to do that. We call it a devotion. We call it a daily practice. We call it prayer. These are all ways in which we need to continue. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. You and I are supposed to put on the armor before the battle starts. There is nothing worse than for you and I to have what we need for a battle and the battle to start and we're out there saying, time out, time out. Hold on, stop shooting your arrows just for a minute. I've got something for that. I'm not ready. Like, you came too soon. Like, give me a chance to get dressed. Like, you can't in the middle of a battle just say, okay, stop shooting. I forgot to load my gun. Like, you just, it doesn't happen. There's no time out against the evil forces that are at work coming at you from every single direction. So why would we leave our house, or why would we step away from a quiet closet in our home in around the rest of our family when we could be prepared for whatever is coming, but yet step into it unprepared? Then we realize we're unprepared, and then we're like, man, I really wish I would have. How many great sentences have ended in our culture, in our life, with people like, man, I wish I would have? We have the opportunity to be ready before the battle starts. We can't get ready in the middle of it. And here's the last thing. It has to be the armor of God. There is no counselor that is ever going to offer you better help than the armor of God. There is no thinking your way through it. There's no, let me figure out inside of myself what I need. You and I have got to learn that through the rhythmic getting dressed in our faith, that you and I can fight against the weapons. There is no weapon in the flesh that is ever going to win these battles. We have a captain, we have a Lord, and he's going to say specific things to us. We will win if we obey. We will lose if we disobey. And sometimes in losing, there's ripple effects of that pain that goes with other people. But here's the thing, and this is what I love about where Paul starts in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus deserves our trust. Like, we have no better commander that could ever possibly tell us what to do than Jesus. Every word out of his mouth is for your good and for my good, and it will never be in contradiction of each other. There is nothing that he's ever going to say that is not going to be good ultimately for us. But there are going to be things he's going to say that we're going to feel like aren't good for us, because our minds need to be reworked. There's so many times that we need to have our thoughts realigned, the ways in which we process the things that are happening around us. But the thing that we're going to lean into is the fact that Jesus can be trusted. So next week, we're going to jump right in. We're going to get right into all the different pieces of the armor, what they mean, and how, if we habitually interact with that piece of armor, the benefit of how it is going to help us fight in this fight today, okay? So let's pray. Father, as we get ready to sing and as we get ready to come to the Lord's table, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that we would ready ourselves, that we wouldn't take for granted what we have. Father, I ask that you would fight on our behalf in a way this next couple weeks, because I have a feeling that many of my brothers and sisters have never really given it any thought about the armor they have available to them. So Father, Lord, have mercy on us. Would you give us a chance to get educated, to learn, to maybe have a few practice sessions with this before the darts really start flying. So Lord, please just be merciful. We want to learn. We want to lean into it. We want to be ready to obey all that you ask of us. And so Father, for those of us that are comfortable in our armor, would you put us out in front to take some of the shots right now so that others can get ready? But Father, I also pray that you would make us ready quickly. Because, Father, I know that there's something powerful you want to do in our geography. right now, Lord. Some of us are committed here for a year. Others of us own homes, are going to be here for a while. But right now, this day, this week, we are here together. And I know you have us together for a reason. And it's not just for us to live and eat and breathe and enjoy a few ball games. You have us here to make a difference. And so, Father, would we, your church, make the difference and be obedient to all that you have for us? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.